Well, this is Saturday Bhagavatam class, and we're discussing Gita, chapter 31 of the 10th canto, and we're on verse number 2. So last week we discussed how the Gopis are starting their song of separation from Krishna and begging for him to come back. So the first verse, little review, they say, Braj is more glorious than Vaikuntha because of Krishna appearing here. And they said that Vaikuntha is famous for Lakshmi Narayan. And of course, Lakshmi Devi is also called Indira. So the first verse, the Gopis are saying, that Lakshmi Devi left Vaikuntha and came to Vrindavan. So Vrindavan has become greater, more fortunate, and more opulent and more auspicious than Vaikuntha, because the personification of opulence and auspiciousness is living in Vrindavan. Moreover, Krishna took birth here. So, then the Gopi said, we searched for you all chapter 30, they searched for Krishna. They asked for all the trees and plants and rivers and clouds and earth and every deer and everyone. They saw, where is Krishna? Please show us Krishna. And they didn't have any success, so they came back to Yamuna from the deep forest, and now they're crying in Sankirtan. Different leading Gopis are saying different verses from this Gopi Gita. So it brings us to verse number 2. So, I'll repeat it, then you can say it after me together. Verse 30, first chapter, verse number 2. Sharadashaye sarajatasat. Sarasasit. Sarasi Jodhara Sri Musha Drisha
Sarasi Jodhara Sri Musha Drisha
Surtanatate Shokadasika Varada Dignato Neya Kimvada
Surtanatate Shokadasika Varada Dignato Neya Kimvada.
So what is the first line talking about?
Autumn season.
Autumn season, Sharad season, which is called autumn in English. And Uda means water. Udashashe, water. Sada means excellent. And it's basically talking that lotus flowers are growing in the lakes in autumn. Because when it's rainy season, lotus flowers don't grow. There's too much mud and the water is too contaminated with mud, and it's not the time for lotuses to grow. So now they're describing Udipan of the autumn season, the full moon night of the autumn season. They're saying, Sarasi, second line, Srimu Shadrisha. They're comparing Krishna's glance. Second line says, your Drisha, your vision, your, like we say, Darshan. Darshan means to see. So they're saying, Krishna, your glance is more beautiful than the lotus flower growing in autumn. So they're not seeing Krishna, and they're remembering what they're not seeing. So it's like a love poem in the absence of the lover. Usually you look at your lover and say, your face is so beautiful, your face is like a flower, and this and that. So they're remembering Krishna's form. This is called what? Vibhav Alamban. Vibhav Alamban. And Prem Vishai, the object of their Prem is Krishna. So there's compared, remembering his beautiful face and eyes like lotus flowers. And then when you see a beautiful face of your lover, you get heart gets a little excited. So then the third line talks about that. What's that third line about? Snath means, what does Snath mean? The boss. Jagannath. Radhanath, you know. Govinath. So Suratanath, Krishna, he's the boss of what? Erotic love making. Means in English, means playboy. He's the lord of playboy. You know, well, we use the word lord. He's a master. He's the best. And what are we? What the Gopis are saying about dasis?
Ashulika dasika, unpaid maid service.
Yeah, we're free. That's unusual, but. I guess the first time it's free, then it costs after that. Costs your life or whatever, I don't know. Anyway, third line, they're glorifying Krishna and they're mentioning who they are. You're the boss and we're your servants. If there's a Nath, there must be Dasi. If there's Govinath, there must be Govinath Dasi and Govinath Das. We have our Govinath Das. All of us are Govinath Dasi, if we all have a Sakhi Srup. So now we talk, what's the fourth line? Da means to give, right? Don. Vara means what?
Benedictions.
So who wants a benediction here?
Gopis.
And if they don't get a benediction, what's the... What do we say? Kamsavad. What does it mean?
Killing of Kamsa.
Vada means killing. Killing of Kamsa. It's actually interesting, on the Hindi calendar has a date when Kamsa was killed. Hindi Brajmandal calendar. It's called Brajbhumi Panchika. It's in Hindi. And he was killed Shiv Chaturthi, I think the day after, day before. Because Krishna left when he was 11 years old, a few days before Shiv Chaturthi. He got there on, well, Kura came on Ekadasi, he left on Dwadasi. So he, Krishna got to Mathura and Dwadasi, I think he bumped off. He killed Kamsa and Chaturthi or Trayodasi. Very fast he killed him. So that's on the calendar. Kamsavada, it says. Ashoka means no payment. Sound familiar, right? I'm getting free meals, I'm not paying. Good deal. So we have a Shoka Dasi here. Everything is free. Let's read the translation, BBT. O Master of Love, the beauty of your glance steals the beauty of the finest fully bloomed lotus flower in the autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing your dasis, who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Isn't this murder? Prabhupada's translation. When Gopi said, O my beloved Krishna, you are the life and soul, even the lotus flower that grows in the water of lakes, made transparent by the clear rains of autumn. Although lotus flowers are beautiful, without your glance they fade away. So they're talking, it's a metaphor. They're talking about lotus flowers, they're actually talking about themselves. we're also those flowers. If you don't pay attention to us, you don't look at us, and don't talk to us, and don't leave us, we fade away. So lotus, the heart's compared to the lotus, face compared to the lotus, life itself is compared to the lotus. So you always, they say, if you don't glance at us, like the sun doesn't glance at the lotus doesn't open. Cloudy day, the lotus stays closed. You know that? If the sun doesn't shine, the lotus doesn't open. I'm not open. That's why the sun is called Padma Bandhu. One name for the sun is Padma Bandhu. Bandhu means friend, friend of Padma. So that's also a name of a Sakhi. So Krishna is also Padma Bandhu. But Rarai doesn't like that name. It's Padma's, the Chandravali's best buddy. Padma and Shaiva, so. Then when they describe Krishna as Padmanabha, lotus navel, and Padma Mukh and Rama, doesn't like that. Tiger. So what else translation here? As you don't glance at us, we'll fade away. Without you, we're also drying out, dying. Actually, we are neither your wives nor your slaves. You never spend any money for us, so we're not your slaves. Because slaves you buy them. And we're not your wives because you never married us, so where do we stand? You ever wonder about that? I didn't marry you, I didn't pay anything. Hey, well, I'll get gypped, I'll get cheated. We're not your wives, we're not your slaves. We're simply attracted by your glance. Now if we die without receiving your glance, you'll be responsible for our death. Sure enough. So, Sanatana Goswami's teak on this verse, I have a little comment here. He connects the word Suratanath with Drisha. That's what it says. Drisha is in the second line of the verse. He connects Drisha with the third line. Drisha is Suratanath. So why? What does he say? Suratanath means the master, the big boss of lovemaking. And so the Gopis are saying, you give us the pleasure of lovemaking just by your glance. So your glance is full of surata. You're looking at us with erotic looks, looks of erotic love. Only women know what that means. What are men's eyes saying? What is the message in these eyes? So they either stay or run. They have two choices. Step on the gas of their Ferrari or park it, turn off the key, turn off the engine. That's an interesting point. So let's see a Gita Press translation, what they do with this. So this is 31:2. Are you not massacring us?
massacring us means slaughtering us. You're finishing us off. Are you not massacring us right here? Oh, giver of boons, you're killing us. We're your gratuitous slaves. Oh, bestower of enjoyment, your eyes steal the splendor of the interior of a lovely full-blown lotus growing in the autumn pond. That's a really interesting translation. Okay. I took us some notes I had from when I gave Ross Lila class. I forgot all this stuff. And I found it. This is a commentary of Sri Jiva Goswami on the Kobi Geet, which I had printed out to have in front of me. There's Jiva Goswami's commentary on 31.2, verse 2 of Kobi Geet. Your eyes steal the beauty of the center of the lotus, which is the epitome of beauty. Even the beauty of lotus, because when we say, usually when they depict beauty, they show a lotus flower. The shape, the design, the color, etc. And then they say, the beauty of the lotus is defeated by the ever-fresh beauty of your eyes. What's the difference between the beauty of a lotus and the beauty of Krishna's eyes? You have to think now. The question is, what is the difference between the beauty of the lotus flower and the beauty of Krishna's lotus eyes? That's why he's a bride. he got some more booty than all the rest of us. Continue, please, Govindaji. Yeah, Krishna's lotus eyes bloom 24 hours a day with swords and knots. There's a story about this. There's a new gopi. A new gopi, she grew up in Barsana and she wasn't married yet. And her mother said, be careful, don't look at Krishna. Because, you know, you're just turned, you know, 12 years, 9 months, and eight days. And you're getting little, you know, signs of womanhood coming up here. So, you know, if Krishna lays his eyes on you, you'll be like bitten by a poisonous snake. So she tried to scare her up-and-coming teenage daughter in Barsana. Don't look at Krishna. So Krishna was taking the cows out from Nandagram, so he came south. Nandagram is north of Barsana. So this particular day, he wanted to pass through Barsana. And this girl wanted to open the door. She opened the door, was looking, you know, to see if you know, Krishna. And her mother saw her, and she came and said, hey, pull it away from the door. Said, don't look out the door. It's dangerous. There's just a voice, you're going with the cows. I just love you. No. So while they were talking like that, you know, and the door was still open, and because, you know, the door was open, a little bit of crack, and the girl was looking out. And Krishna pulled the tail of a calf. A small cow was pulled, and the cow went, it ran right to the house. And Krishna chased the cow, and the cow went right to the front door. And Krishna went to the cow, and there was a lot of commotion. You know, Krishna said, hey, come back. And the girl, and the mother was just pulling the girl away to the door. So what's going on? And she looked. She looked at the door, and Krishna looked at the door, looked right at her, through the crack of the door, and she went, and then the mother pulled her back and slammed the door, boom! It was too late. You're all like crazy after that. Just one glance at Krishna. So Krishna's eyes are more beautiful than lotus are because they never close at night. They bloom at night, they bloom in the day. And if a girl looks at lotus are, she doesn't get agitated. You know, she's all beautiful, I just go, wow. Start getting crazy, you know, get sweaty, get excited, you know. But that's not true when you look at Krishna. Look at Krishna, you get excited, and hair on your arm stands, and then your lips start trembling, and you know, you get in trouble. So, Jiva Goswami is making this point. That Krishna is more beautiful than lotus flower. He also praised the gopis. May the Braja gopis be pleased with me in my commentary and empower me to explain the meaning of their words. To some extent, this is Jiva Goswami saying, to some extent I accept the remnants of the gopis' song drunk by Sri Araswami. That's a poetic way of saying, of course it's in Sanskrit. He's saying that my commentary is based on Sri Araswami's commentary. So that was, so he says, Suratanath, I made that. By your glance you have made us desirous of you. So please give us a blessing to make our desires stronger. So Varada, in the verse, you see Varada in the verse, number 2, chapter 31. Varada means give us a blessing. In other words, look at us, come look at us, and give us a blessing to increase our desire to have erotic union with you. We have it already. It comes with a model. It's not an option. It's a standard. It's a standard model. Every man, every woman has a desire for this type of activity. Ahara, nidra, maitun, vayam. That's all. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's going on everywhere. So they're saying, that's what Jiva Goswami is commenting like that. Please give us a blessing that our desire to enjoy with you increases more and more. We're not at fault. Rather, we have good qualities because we're serving you without charging. We're faultless. So the fault is with you, however, because you're not accepting our seva, so you're killing us. This is really technical stuff, but I'll see if you fall asleep. This is, Jiva Goswami is really a pundit. In order to show Krishna's fault, the gopis indicate that he's absorbed in theft in three ways. There's three ways which Krishna stole, stealing. First of all, he does not consider it the great fault he's committing by taking the wealth of the righteous. He has knowledge of other secret treasures. He trespasses the greatest obstacles. The first aspect of thievery is expressed in the lotus growing in Autumn Lake. So check this out. The producer, who produces the lotus flower? The lake, Pankaja. Lotus is called Pankaja. What does Panka mean? Means mud. Panka means mud, and ja means what? Birds. So who's born from the mud? You. You born in mud, you came out white. Very good. White Lodestar. Lodestar is born from the mud. You got a swimming pool, you put lotus seeds in it, they won't grow. They need mud. Blacker mud, the better. Watch out, Professor. He wants to make friends with a girl with glasses. He wants to approach her on equal level. He's such a mob, you know. She's wearing glasses, so he has to wear glasses when he approaches a girl with glasses. Is that right? Too much, right? So the lotus flower's birth is pure, sat-jut. The qualities and form of the lotus are proper, sat-sarasija. This is all the Sanskrit words. The second aspect is expressed by the center of the lotus, which is hidden within the petals, within a huge water body. The third aspect is expressed in the center of the lotus being surrounded by 1,000 petals, difficult to see. Being situated in the depth of the water of the lake filled by monsoon rains. So you have stolen the beauty of the lotus even though it hides in fear of you. What do speakers stealing innocent gopis who wander fearlessly in Braj and Vrindavan? It's a little esoteric. It's poet, Sanskrit, it's Kavi, he's analyzing it from very high. Because when I gave these classes, I gave class in Rasleela, I didn't see, I put no. It's too confusing. But I thought, let me try it. See how I could confuse you. It's too deep. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Hugo Soy is really great. Okay. Oh Lord of love, with your eyes you steal away the beauty of autumn's best lotuses as they bloom within the ponds. If you do not look at us now with the same eyes, you will kill us. We have committed ourselves to you in slavery. Is this not murder? This is Tripurari Swami's commentary. Thieves are often murderers. Thieves often, they come to steal something in your house, and you catch them and they, boom, finish you off. So gopis accuse Krishna of murder, for he's not a small thief. Stealing the beauty of a lotus flower is not possible for anyone other than a big thief. The gopis claim that they are living for Krishna's glance. Because they say, if you don't look at us, we'll die. That means without your glance, I'll die. If I don't see you, I'll die. That's what they're saying. But if he does not know it, if he does not give the glance, how will they go on living? The gopis have offered themselves to Krishna with no expectation of reward other than his association. Yet he doesn't even look at them. Cruel guy. The gopis compare the beauty of a lotus flower to Sri, because the word Sri is there in Sanskrit, right? Sri Musha. So he's coming, why is he saying Sri? In other words, Sri, what does Sri carry in her hand? What's useless flower for? Lakshmi Devi.
To give benediction.
So Sri Varada, Lakshmi gives blessing for the lotus flower. Okay? So, he's talking about that. He's saying that your eyes steal away the beauty of Lakshmi Devi. And if someone looks at, if Krishna looks at someone, if Krishna glances at someone, they also become Sri. They also become beautiful. That's actually a fact. We see that when people start taking up bhakti, they look more beautiful. They look more effulgent, they look more radiant, they look, because they have to follow these subtle principles. And start eating pure sanctified food and getting up early and taking rest early and saying all these mantras with surcharging with power of Brahman, spiritual light. So they become brilliant, they become radiant, become peaceful, become joyful, become blissful. You start to exhibit transcendental bliss. And that's why so many marriages go on. In spiritual movements. The guys start looking real good, the girls start looking really good. Then you got me, a guy, you say, did your marriage start in the kitchen, the DE kitchen? And they'll say, yeah. I was a brahmacharya, I was working in the DE kitchen washing pots and pans. And this Ramachrini was cooking a fruit offering. And after some time, I got cooked. And I turned it into fruit salad. Anyway, all right. This is the way. So, the gopis' aspiration is also that they might be beautified by the glance of the God of love. Unless Krishna expresses that Suratana love with them, who will know that Krishna is the God of love? Oh, that's good. Good trick. Gopis are using logic. Naya, you're sure of that. So you gotta prove it, man. You know, you need somebody to prove it. We're here. So show your stuff. Come out of hiding. For the sake of his own reputation, they're begging Krishna to cast his glance at him and continue his leela of love. What do they mean by leela of love? The Ras Leela. This is a chapter of Ras Leela. He started by discouraging him. Then he started wandering through the forest with them, singing with them, and embracing, scratching this and that. Then he disappeared. So he started off rejecting them, then he accepted them, and they disappeared. So he's really torturing them. He invited them for lovemaking and dancing, and then he tells them, go home. And then he says, okay, Radharani said, okay, let's start now. So then he starts fooling around, and then he disappears. And they say, come on, stop playing games, man. Come out of hiding. And get with it, you know. It's amazing, Leo. That's a very nice commentary. So, let's see. Well, there's a short commentary here on the word Suratanath. Suratakatamritam. You have that book? Pancham Gita, Vishnu Chakravarti. Oh, yeah, actually, when I initiate, I remind you after class, I give you, usually initiation, I give this. I give Bhavan Sara Sangra, which you already have. You have Bhavan Sara Sangra?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I usually give this. Well, you got it already. Panchan Gita, Vishnu Chakravarti. Okay, well, remind me. So this commentary says, Suratanath, Lord means the master of love. Because usually it shouldn't say Lord, Nath is Lord, and we don't use that, we say master. You can't say Ishra of love, you know, well, it doesn't make sense. Master of love, better yet, king of love. You're a love king. Playboy is good, but it's a little informal. It's actually, that's what, can we say Rati Kelly? Kelly means play. Love play. So he's a playboy. He's only 15, he's not a big old guy, you know. 15-year-old guy. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Keep cool. So another way we can say, sure as another, we can say, Sambhog Pate, Pati, Pate, means the master of intimate enjoyment, Sambhog. Okay, that's verse number two. What about Vishnu's commentary? You have it there. No, I have it here. I got everything here. I don't have to bring all those books. The Krishna book and that, I got it all here. I forgot I had this. Pranayana Gita, I have like 3-4 books in this. All collected here. I think so. You see if it's the same commentary. Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary on verse number 2. You can read along with me. The gopis are saying, no, Krishna's saying, gopis, how can you insinuate that I want to make you unhappy? Is that there? Okay. The gopis replied, not only do you want to see us suffer, you're killing us. This is the intention this serves. Because if you love someone, if you're denied love, you might as well die. And what do we say? What is a common phrase we say? Life without love is not worth living. So love means different forms. Sister to sister love, mother to daughter love, or friend to friend love. There's different kinds of love. Not just man-woman love, but because many people don't have any love in their life. They don't have any brother, they don't have any mother, they don't have any anybody. So they're suffering, they're sad. But the more types of loving experiences you have, the more complete person you are. You have brotherly love, you have a brother. And you have fatherly love, you have a son. You have love for your wife and your mother. You have all, you're surrounded by love in different forms, in different shapes. That makes you a whole person. Like every night some ladies talk to their mother on the phone. You talk to your mother every night? How often? How often do you talk? Once a month?
Yes,
2 times
a month.
So just see difference. Some people talk like every day. So it's different kind of bonding, different kind of experience. So gopis, so Vishnu is nice commentary. The gopis are saying, you're killing us, you know. Women always exaggerate. That's one thing I realized with this verse. I just realized it just now. The psychology of women, they always go to the upteenth degree to make the man dance the way they want him to dance. Like I had experience once someone wanted to take diksha from me. So they did blackmailing. Blackmail, you know blackmail? Yeah. Not, that's black magic. Blackmail, like email. Look out on Google. Blackmail, I'll give you an example of blackmailing. If you don't do this, like I call you up and I say, you have to give me $1 lakh or I'm going to kill your kids. That's called blackmailing. So this person, lady person, said, if you don't initiate me, I'm going to commit suicide. So I told her, because first of all, I wasn't initiating at the time. I didn't have any disciples. So I said that. The second thing I said, everything you're doing is your karma. You're thinking, everything you're thinking, you're speaking, it's all your karma. You haven't taken shelter of a guru and Krishna, so you're not free from your karma. So I said, I'm not initiating, I'm not going to initiate you. You can look elsewhere. And she said, I'm going to commit suicide and this, that. I said, well, if that's your destiny, that's your karma, do your thing, you know. So sounds a little insensitive, but I'm quite straightforward. So about a month later, the person jumped off a building. Jumped off the roof, but it's only two-story, you know, ground floor and first floor. Like, you know, jumped off my roof, okay? Yeah, there's a floor above us. That's about 30 feet. So this is exact. So the gopis are saying, you don't show yourself to us, you're killing us. You don't give us your erotic glances at us and come and kiss us, embrace us. You're killing us. That's a little, over the top. It's a little exaggerated. The gopis are really being women. They're blackmailing Krishna in this verse number 2. If you don't come, we're going to die. You're going to kill us. So, fortunately, when this lady jumped off the building, she landed in a freshly plowed field. Okay. The dirt was turned over by a tractor. It wasn't hard dirt, it was a field. It was right next to the house, she said it was a field. So she broke a bunch of bones and stuff, and arms and legs. When I was in the hospital. So somebody gave me a report. You know that lady was, you know, wanted to be initiated with you, and she's in the hospital. So I said, okay. So I went to visit her. I said, you did it. Yeah, we were. Because you're not a group or building or something. Anyway, I said, Krishna save you because you're living in Vrindavan and you're trying to do bhakti. It was your destiny to die by committing suicide, but Krishna didn't let you die. So now get serious about spiritual life. So she took initiation from Anandadas Babaji. So a happy ending. But it shows you what people can do. So when I say I've been through a lot, it's a lot. 50 years wasn't just like, you know, kind of my eyes closed the whole time, you know. I've seen a lot of different things. So I go and say, you look at us with your eyes and you beg us for amorous pleasure. Sure is it not? And you give us happiness. Moreover, your glances are emanating a blazing fire of frame. Your glances are killing. You have a phrase, killing glance, killer glances. Usually talk about women that way. She killed me with her glasses. Because the shastras compare a woman's eyes to what? Arrows. And what are eyebrows compared to?
Bow.
And who's the target? The guys. The boys. Because they look at you, you're in trouble. It's that certain kind of look, you know. The boys know the effect, and the girls know how to direct it. They're expert bowmen. And they're born in Sagittarius, so you're more dangerous. Sagittarius is a bowman, right? So yeah. If you're a woman born in Sagittarius, you're double trouble.
Two bows.
Well, you already got two, you got four now. You got two or eight. Okay, right, Michelle. Jai Jai Shri Rai. The gopis are saying, your glances are emanating blazing fire of love. They're killing us, your maidservants, who are purchased for free. Is this not murder on your part? It's not only killing, it's not only killing with a weapon, with a knife or a club or a gun or a bullet, but you can murder with your eyes. In other words, you have a killer glance. Usually they say a guy's really handsome. A guy, they call him a lady killer. There's a phrase like that, a guy's really handsome, tall, strong, you know. And he's like, wow. All ladies get a little crazy, you know. So they call that guy a lady killer, especially Italian men. You come from a place of famous, romantic, handsome men, Italy. They're famous, you know. What to speak of the ladies. She's from Italy, you know. Not everyone, of course. There are exceptions. When your country is famous. Fast cars. Fast women and fast men. That's the fame of your country, you know? A little wine to get it moving. That's a funny place, actually, because a lot of saintly people, the saints come from Italy also, right? Funny mix up there. Saints and sinners. So you're a saintly person. That's nice. Oh, Varada, you have ruined, because Da comes from D. Da comes from D, which means destroy. You have ruined our opportunity for happiness in this world and the next. Furthermore, if we were in fact your property, there would be no fault in throwing us away or burning up your own possession. But actually, you didn't buy us with any payment. You haven't accepted us in marriage. We're free maidservants. Due to our innocent foolishness, we became your slaves, out of our own free will. In describing the beauty of Krishna's glance, the gopis indicate the cause of Krishna's power to enchant, madden, and to expertly steal their hearts. Wow, that does it all. That's everything. Enchant, madden, and steal. Gopi said, your glance steals the beauty of the best blooming lotus flower growing in autumn in the saintly land of Vrindavan. In this way, Gopi described the extraordinary beauty, fragrance, coolness, and gentleness of Krishna's eyes, comparing them to a super excellent autumnal lotus flower. Wow. Gentle eyes, beautiful eyes, fragrant eyes, cool eyes. Vishnu really lays it on, huh? The sounds, the way he describes it, it seems like he's seeing Krishna's eyes. What's Vishnu's Manjari name? Vinod Valery. What does Valery mean? It means creeper, like Lata. Utkalika Valery. Vinod, a creeper of Vinod means pleasure. Happiness. Yeah, right, you know. Vinod Valery, creeper of happiness. Gopis are saying, indeed your glance is a thief. It went to the private inner chambers of a respectable person with good upbringing, which are completely inaccessible to a common man, and stolen the treasure. By sprinkling a powder, there's some kind of powder, you have to be, one thing I can say as a warning, if you ever get a rickshaw, and it's only a public rickshaw, and it's only you and two guys, you should get out of the rickshaw as fast as possible. Because there's, I don't know what it's called, it's called chloroform. There's a chemical called chloroform. It's a liquid. And you dip a cloth in chloroform and you wring it out, and it smells like, you know, like you dip a cloth in a bottle of perfume, it's going to really smell like perfume. So they keep that in their pocket. Two guys, you know, in a rickshaw. You know, you get it and they put it on your face, and in 5 seconds you go unconscious. Because this happened to Chokidar's son. Chokidar's son. A guy. He was like 16 years old. He was going to Vrindavan to see some relatives. And he got in rickshaw, and he did that to him. You know, he got in rickshaw and Radhika, and he was going to Vrindavan. And he stopped somewhere in the fields, and they knocked him out. And they said, okay, stop here, and they got a rickshaw. And the guys, and the driver of the rickshaw, he was like, the two guys were supporting him. He said, what's wrong? And he said, what's wrong with your friend? Oh, he's not feeling well. They took him to the fields, and they robbed him. He had like 50 rupees in his pocket. They took his shoes, they took his pants, they took everything from the guy. He just bought some new track shoes for 1,000 rupees. He stole his shoes and his pants. He had a pair of Levi's jeans, you know, and 50 rupees, 50 rupees in his pocket. It's a true story. That's just some teenage kid. So, this place is dangerous. That's why, you know, when you're going back and forth, you know, it should be daytime. And anyway, this is a very common practice here on this road with thieves, chloroform program. I never take food from anybody. Sometimes, this goes on here in Radhakund. With the higher class, they give you some prasad. They say take some prasadam, and they put datura. They take datura seeds and you make a powder and they mix it in the sweet. They give it to you and you go unconscious. And then that's not a good way to be. They'll give it to you, they'll be with you and you'll go unconscious. They'll encourage you to eat, take the lassi, they'll offer to buy a lassi for you or a sweet for you. This goes on here, right in this village of Radhakund. And they take you to some house or some place and do what they do. So don't ever take any food from anybody. It's, you know, even his so-called friends or, you know, they have, because when you live, especially ladies living in Radhakund, they make friends with different Brahmin guys here and there, and oh, he's a Brahmin and this and that. But these are the guys that do it, actually. You know, I've been around, you know. And the one girl from America, she came here, and she was in Vrindavan, making a lot of noise. So, because something happened to her here in Radhakund, this thing I'm telling you about. Some Brahmin offered a lassi and she got, you know, exploited, let's put it that way. You can understand what I mean. And so someone said, because she was going to go to the embassy, because she was a wealthy girl from a wealthy family in America. So Vrindavan Temple suggested that she come to me before I was sannyasi. So she came out here and met me. And she told me about some Brahmins here, what they did here in Radhakund and this and that. So I talked to her an hour and tried to explain about the world here in India and the situation. I convinced her not to make a big thing about it. Because that's what they told me in Vrindavan. She's very influential, she's going to make a lot of trouble for people. So she was modern woman, you know what I mean. she wasn't, you know, experienced. She was an experienced woman in the ways of the world. So she cooled down and said, okay. So she went back to America and didn't. Otherwise she could have had the person put in jail and for a long time. Some Western person came here and some Brahmins from this village did bad things to her. And so she made noise in Vrindavan Temple. And they suggested she come out here, talk to me before she goes to embassy and makes a whole CID and puts the guys in jail for many years. So I talked to her and she changed her mind and became a little compassionate. She had all rights to do that, but so I just be careful. That's what I'm saying. You have a scooty, that's a good thing.
We have the car.
Huh?
I have the car, that's the best thing.
You have a car?
Their car.
Oh, you got a giant Vijay with you. Okay, that's good. That's better. So, the commentary of Vishnu, I got a little sidetracked here. So Krishna's like a burglar. He throws some powder in her eyes. Mohan Unmad. Your eyes are thieves. And they're thieves like poison powder. He throws some chloroform in her nose or throws some powder in her eyes. And we can't see, we go crazy. So you made us crazy with your glances. Loving glances. And you saw, we freely turned over the treasure of our intimate love and also our pran. Having our treasure stolen, now we're dying. By this theft, You willingly accept the sin of killing thousands of women. Out of fear of this sin, you should show yourself to us. So it's interesting that Gopis are comparing Krishna's glance to lotus flower in autumn, because in autumn, lotus flowers bloom all year long. When do they look most beautiful? In autumn season. The lotus flower is cool, it's gentle, it's fragrant, and it's beautiful. So Krishna's eyes are compared to that. Beauty of a lotus, fragrant, cool, gentle. Actually, in Govinda Lilamrita, it describes the fragrance of Krishna's different bodily parts, feet and arms and everything, hands, face, hair. Do you remember what it describes what fragrance his eyes are? I don't remember. Must be a blue lotus. It's like feet smell. And it describes Radharani also. Different bodily parts smell like flowers and musk and sandalwood and camphor and naturally. It's not the same with us. We're not gopis. It says that heavenly women smell like lotus flowers. Women, heavenly planets, and Indra's planet without perfume. They use perfume also, but even without perfume, they smell like lotus flowers. So that's his commentary there. Prabhupada's little commentary. Certainly the killing of women is a great sin. If you don't come and see us, we will die. And you will suffer reactions of sin. So please come see us. We're being killed by your absence. You should think. Come back here. Otherwise you're going to kill us. You're going to get sinful reaction. God's going to get sinful reaction. Interesting idea. Let's see if Sri Aswami has any comments over here. If I have anything. No, I don't have anything for Sri Aswami. Okay, let's have some water. Verse number 3. Vishadalapya dvyala rakshasa varshamruta maruta vayuna vayutanalat vishamayatmajad vishvatobayad vishvatevayam rakshitamo. Everyone together say it. Okay, good. What's a rakshas? What's a rakshas? Demon. And jalap. What's jal?
Water.
Water. What's vish?
Poison.
What's the opposite of vish?
Amrit.
What is sense gratification called?
Vishaya.
So sense gratification is?
Poison.
Poison is. Watch your senses. Vacho vegam, manasakrota vegam, jiva vegam. Manasakrota vegam. Vishas labhyat. So first line means, what does it mean? It means,
from poisonous waters.
right. Who made the water you want to poisonous? Right, Kaliya. Varsha, what does Varsha mean?
Please.
Oh, you Hindi guys have an advantage here. Varsha Ritu, Varsha. Rain. Who are the Maruts? Maruts, the wind gods. What's the name for Hanuman?
Maruti.
The famous car of India. Suzuki Maruti. Maruti 800. Goes like Hanuman. Wishful thinking. Hanuman goes as fast as the mind. Maruti goes 50 kilometers an hour. Okay. What is Vidyut?
Lightning.
There was a famous Indian motorcycle called Vidyut. Now what?
Rajdut.
Yeah, Rajdut. Yeah, Rajdut. He's getting scattered. It is a very humorous place. It's a cheap, crappy motorcycle. Test speed 70 kilometers an hour. Rajdut. They call it Rajdut. Dude means carrier. Vishnu Dutas. Carriers of Vishnu. Yama Dutas. So it's called Rajdut. Carrier of the king. The Raja. The Maharaj. The Maharajas of India had Rolls Royces. They had Rolls Royce cars. The Bharatpur Maharaj from Bharatpur had 15 Rolls Royces. And one king, King of Jayapur, he was in England. And he went to a Rolls Royce dealer. And he walked in with pointed shoes, like Indian shoes, those kind of funny Rajasthani shoes with bells on them, you know. And he had a turban. He looked like some G or something. And Rolls Royce dealer, I thought he was an Indian gypsy or beggar. So they threw him out. They threw him out of the store. They threw him out of the Rolls Royce dealer. He was the king of Jayapur. So, he already had a bunch of Rolls Royces in Jayapur. So he went back to Jayapur. He took one of his Rolls Royces and he used it for a garbage truck. It was a convertible. It was like, you know, four-door car. It was a big car. 16-cylinder engine. So he told his servants to drive around town filled with garbage. This is 1920s, 1930s, 40s, before, you know, independence. And so there were photographs. So they took pictures of the king's garbage truck, Rolls Royce. And the pictures of all newspapers. King of India, Indian king, used Rolls Royce for garbage truck. So, this news went to England, to the Rolls Royce owner, dealer. And so he sent a representative by boat to India to meet the king of Jayapur. And he begged him, he said, please, we'll give you 5 Rolls Royces. Please stop using this Rolls Royce garbage truck. Because the king was insulted. He's a Kshatriya. And the worst thing you can do for a king is to insult him. You know, he had enough, you know, gold in his pocket to buy the whole company Rolls Royce. He was such a wealthy guy, you know. So he went back and he was very clever. He pinched them good, you know. Idiots are smart guys, you know. He outfoxed the British, you know. So, what do you want to say? What is it?
Krishna's eyes smell like lotuses mixed with camphor.
Thank you very much for that. You did a little research there. Krishna's eyes, what do they smell like?
Lotuses mixed with camphor.
What?
Lotus mixed with camphor.
Lotus mixed with camphor. What do they offer Jagannath in the summertime? They put camphor in his eyes. And they give you mild camphor. The Brahmins in Puri, when you go there in the summer, they especially if you're a woman. You know how Brahmins are, you know. The women always get all the mild prasad, garlands. So they take some, they say, you want some anjan. They call anjan. Eye ointment for your eyes from Jagannath. They say, yeah. So then the Brahmin goes, yeah, he puts first puts his hand on your head. He goes like, you know. Not if you're old, if you're young, yeah. And single. So, you know, that's some special fringe benefits. You could do that also, get edible camphor and put some on your eyes, keep your eyes cool, on your up, not in your eyes, on your eyes. You can try it. This time of year is very nice, actually. You have AC, so it's not a problem. But I do it sometimes at night to sleep better, I put it in my eyes. I mix it up and I put it, and I offer the Giriraj, and I put it in my eyes. It's nice. Actually, a lot of eye ointment has camphor mixed in it also. Edible, not chemical camphor. Edible. You want some? You got edible camphor? You bring me some, I'll give you some after class. I can wrap it up with some aluminum foil. And you crush them, keep it like some vitamin container or whatever. An old bottle, a little vitamin bottle. Go to the homeopathic doctor and ask him for a small empty container, give him 10 rupees. Yeah, the homeopathic doctor by the Dharmashala. Yeah. They always have empty bottles there, you know. Because you don't have an AC. It would be very nice, especially if you do a juggernaut or something. Because your eyes get sleepy. You put it not in your eye, on your eyelid, you know, up here. So let's see, we finish. So where are we? We're in verse number 3. So what we did? We finish all these words? No. Anyway, you're talking about Agasura and Arakshas is Agasura, and the wind demon Trinavarta, and the thunderbolts of Indra. In other words, the gopis are saying, you saved us from fear. Vishwa Tobayat. What does Vishwa mean? The universe, by a fear. So everyone in the universe is afraid. What's the verse from Gita that describes that? 8th chapter, verse 16, I think. Yeah. Abrahma Bhavanaloka Punaravartina Arjuna. Everywhere in the material universe, from Brahmaloka to Pataloka, everyone is what?
Fearful.
They're in samsara. Rava Mala Kupuna. They're taking rebirth. So everyone is afraid of what?
Death.
What was Yamaraj met Yudhisthira in Kanvan at Dharmakund? He asked him a question. He said, what was the question?
What is the amazing in this
world? You're a king, you've seen so many things, what's the amazing thing? What did he say? Yeah, Yudhisthira was asked by Yamaraj, what is the most amazing thing you've seen? You're a big king, you're a king of the whole world. Well, what I see everywhere, we see people dying every day, young people, old people, men, women, babies, everyone's dying. But everyone thinks, I will never die. This is the greatest, amazing thing. Death, as soon as you're born, you start dying. Burning on both ends. We're burning up. So what's the translation? Oh, Rishabh, Krishna Rishabh. Rishabh means a great person. Oh, great personality. You have saved us from all kinds of danger, from the poison waters of Kaliya, from the Agasura python who eats men and women and everybody, from the rains of Indra, from the wind demon, the thunderbolts, the bull demon, Rishasura, and Maya Dhanava, Trinavarta. Prabhupada's translation. We're always grateful to you, Krishna. Always we're grateful. Because you protected us many times from poisonous water, Yamuna, the serpent Kaliya, from Bakasura, the anger of Indra, torrents of rain, from forest fire, and many other incidents. You're the greatest, the most powerful of all. That's an interesting translation. Rishabhadev, the greatest, the most powerful of all. Gita Press translation. O Krishna, we have been saved by you time and time again. O jewel among men. They translate Rishabhadev as jewel among men. Interesting. Okay, from death through poisonous water, from the clutches of the demon disguised as a snake, yogi, Agasura by name, from showers and storm, as well as from strokes of lightning, from the demon that appeared in the form of a bull, as well as from Yomasura, and from every other peril. P-E-R-I-L, peril. Peril means danger. Perilous situation. The gopis imply here, Krishna, you saved us from many terrible dangers. So now we're suffering from separation. That's very dangerous. We're dying of separation. So won't you save us now? That's the worst demon, separation. So Prabhupada's commentary on this verse, he says, it's very wonderful for you to protect us from so many dangers, but we're very surprised you're neglecting us right now. What does Jiva Goswami say about verse number 3? He doesn't say much. We have been protected by you as part of your policy to protect Vrindavan. Your Vrindavan protection policy. We're included. I mean, you get life insurance that covers your wife and kids also. Family policy. So you protect Vrindavan, and we're Vrindavan, so we also got protected. But do you not remember that it's improper to cut down even a poisonous tree you planted yourself? If you plant a tree, even if it's poisonous, it's against the vague dharma to cut down a tree, basically. You protected the cows and coward men from death when they drank the poison water of Kali Arad, Yamuna. You protected us from the snake. Your Antaryami situated everyone's heart. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Sanat Goswami makes a nice point. That was Shiva Goswami's commentary. I have a little note about Sanat. Rajagopis describe in detail how Krishna protected the individual Rishvasis and the whole clan of coward men from various demons and life-threatening calamities. So in verse number 3, the Vrajagopis, the essence of what they're saying, Krishna, many times you saved us from different kinds of fear. Now we have fear of separation from you. Please save us. Let's see what T. Swami says. That's what the people call him sometimes. Sri Tribhari Swami. He had a nice commentary he gives on this verse. From such remembrance of Krishna, how Krishna protects, one can gain confidence in taking shelter of Krishna. Many demons lie in our hearts and prevent us from progressing spiritually. The idea, the description of Krishna killing demons referred by the devotees, by the gopis, can be meditated on by sadhakas to destroy our inner demons. There's snakes crawling in your heart. There's mad bulls crawling in your heart. There's thunderbolts being thrown in your heart. Wind demons. And he cites the Bhaktivinoda thing about different demons represent different analysis, which is only his idea, but it's a nice idea, but it's nice imagination. Goswamis don't talk anything about that. Okay. All glories. Gopis are very much distressed. It's very sad, actually, this whole Gopi Gita. Krishna's hiding behind the bushes, hearing them talk among themselves. Sometimes I don't know about Krishna. I tend to take the side of the Gopis, you know. Because I'm a gopi. The way he deals is teaching and showing the gopis love. Gopis are wondering in this verse, how is it that Krishna protected him so many times from so many dangerous incidents, but now he's neglecting them? The gopis want to be safe from the demon of separation. The gopis' love for Krishna allows them to have knowledge of Krishna's future, because they're talking in this verse, interesting point, in verse number 3 from Gopi Gita. The gopis are talking about Krishna killing Vyomasura and Rishasura, which happened after Rasalila. So the gopis, what is it called when you can see past, present, and future? What does that mean? Shri Kala Gya, knowledge of three phases of time. Past, present, future. Shri Kala Gya. G-Y-A-N. That's how they spell it. Gyan. G-Y-A-N. Not G-N-A-N. That's the old-fashioned way. Professors in new books, they spell Gyan. G-Y-A-N. Also, S-N-V. There's a restaurant in Jaipur, a vegetarian restaurant, called LLLB. It's called LLB, so we say SMB. She said it right there, so he's used the term G-Y-A-N. Yeah. Okay, so what were you doing here? So the gopis, they know the future. Actually, sometimes some people used to come to me from Delhi because they would ask me about predict the future. Tell them about the future. They say, I'm going to do this and this business. And I said, look, because sometimes I can tell what's going to happen in the future. So some people got to know it. They would say, what do you think could happen? So I tell them, anyway, it's not a good thing to know. It's not good to know the future. Ignorance is bliss. So because of their love for Krishna, they knew the future. Other acharyas said that the gopis knew Krishna's kundalini. It's like you have a boyfriend, you find it, you one day you're on a date, say, when were you born, what time? Were you born in New Delhi? Then you go into a chart on the guy, okay, this is why I know this guy. You know his strength and weakness. So acharyas say the gopis were aware of Krishna's chart because Krishna's kundalini was done by Garga Rishi and Bhagari Rishi. So those events were predicted. Narada Muni one time met Krishna and he told him, his future, he's going to kill all these demons and all this stuff. In the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Narada Muni came to Krishna and told him he's going to do all these different things. Also told Kamsa, about Krishna to kill all your friends and he's going to come kill you too. That's pretty amazing, the gopis, because they're devotees. So an interesting point this commentary made. The gopis, because they're devotees of Krishna, they have the ability to see the future. So that means, what does that mean? That means if someone's devoted to Krishna, they may have the ability to see the future. Devotees get certain powers. Especially women are known to have what they call women's intuition, sixth sense. So it's sometimes good to ask a woman what's going to happen in the future. They have some kind of connection with that. Because usually all the psychic people that are psychics and mystics are women. The crystal ball readers, you know, usually gypsies are usually women. Ever see? Seers and mediums do seances, you know. They women have some secret power. They're connected to Durga. So let's look at Vishwanath's commentary in this verse. Krishna is going to reply to the gopis. Vishwanath has the idea that Krishna's talking to the gopis, replying to them. So Krishna, they're saying, in verse number 2, the gopis are saying, you're killing us. And Krishna says, replies in verse number 3, if I wanted to kill you, why did I say you all the time? You're saying I want to kill you in verse number 2. Then verse number 3, you said I say you for so many things. So why did I say you if I want to kill you? I say you, so it would be inappropriate for me to kill you now. The gopis replied, yeah, you saved us. For all these different guys, you know, Typhoon and Agastura and all that thunderbolt and everything. And you will save us from Arisasura and Yomasura. You always protected us from all kinds of fear. On numerous occasions you saved us, because our lives are dedicated solely to you. What is Krishna saying he's about saving and protecting? No. Yeah, that's it. Kaunteya Pratijani Name Bhakti Pranashiti. My devotees never perish. What is Vishwanath's commentary on that verse? Okay, let me put it another way. Why didn't Krishna say that? Why did Krishna ask Arjuna to say it? Now Vishwanath's commentary says that Krishna, he had Arjuna say, listen, devotees of Krishna are never defeated, never perished. So why didn't Krishna say it? Because the people on the battlefield were Delhi people. And Delhi people know that Krishna is from Mathura, UP. And Delhi people know that all the people from Mathura and UP are liars. They all speak Jute Bolo. Jute means lies. So Krishna, if he said it, none of the Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, nobody would believe him. They won't believe him, so he had Arjuna say it. But Arjuna is not born in Mathura. Where is Arjuna born? Delhi. He's a local guy. So you can trust the local guy. You're from Moscow, I can trust you. If you're not from Moscow, I don't trust you. You're Italian, okay, I trust you. Really? You're one of my, you're one of me. Boy, this is so tight and so dry, sticking together. Gotta put my lipstick on. Huh? What? What happened? I got it. Beeswax. This beeswax. Because I'm a honeybee. Has a beeswax. Okay, so what's happening here? Vishwan's commentary. Okay. If you neglect us, we will die from the blazing fire of separation from you, which is millions of times more intense than the fever of Cupid. Are you not afraid of killing those who place their trust in you? Although the killing of Rishi Sarayama are yet to come, yet to occur, is mentioned here because the gopis, the commentary I read, the guy was quoting Vishnu. They have heard about Krishna's horoscope from Garga and Bhagori. A lot of people, when you have a guru, when you're a guru, a lot of people do your horoscope. Because I had different disciples, they do my horoscope, and they said, you're okay. We did your horoscope. My friend's an astrologer, you did your... I said, okay. It's like, you know, coming out with, you know, king's wearing new clothes, you know. It's like, they know everything about you before you even, you know, introduce yourself. You know, I went to Rigo a couple of times with Sundari from Delhi, other people, and there's room there. It's all public. So people were disciples. He said he's going to speak here, Jana Kundali, but we're all like this, like rooms like this. We go outside and wait outside. It's okay. I have nothing to hide. So he said, and he said. Funny thing. Okay, what's time now?
4:39.
Okay, let's do verse number 4. So here, we'll just review this verse, number 3, Gopis are speaking. They're reminding how Krishna protected them in so many different ways, from so much fear of Baya. So, what lesson for Bhajan? One of our analysis was analysis of the Bhagavatam verses was one of the 6 points was Bhajan tips. Remember that sheet I gave outline? So what is the point here for Bhajan? What is the teaching? What do you get from your to apply your own bhajan life from this verse of the Gopis?
Krishna will always protect.
Huh?
Krishna will always protect.
Krishna always protects us. This is point for point. The Gopis, a nice point Gopal Das made. And your point was also correct. This is for further elaboration on that. Anyway, let's discuss this and other points also. So the idea is the Gopis, they're in distress, they're feeling separation from Krishna, they're unhappy, they're afraid. And then what do? They start thinking about the past. Because the present is mixed up. The present is a middle point. The present is between, the present time is between the past and future. So it's a midpoint. The future is yet to unfold and the past is already done. So the present, we have to make our move into the future based on the present situation and the past. That's called memory. Well, I did this before, I remember how I did it last time, now I do it this time, I'll be successful. So Gopis are remembering, they're afraid and they're separated from Krishna. So there are many times they've been afraid and they've been separated from Krishna. And what happened? Krishna appeared and saved them. When there was, all these different demons there, when the wind demon came, Srinivasa, they were separated from Krishna. How they were separated?
Krishna took him in the sky.
They took the typhoon took Krishna in the sky. They couldn't see him. And also so much dust was windstorm, they call it windstorm. So much dust they couldn't see, even Michelle couldn't see one foot in front of her. So much dust flying there. So that's what he was saying. So we've been devotees for so many months, so many years, we had so many different circumstances where we've been in a fearful situation, a lonely situation. We remembered Krishna, we took shelter of Krishna. And Yoga Srimamahamyam, who said that? Somebody said that. You said that. So then Krishna saved us, protected us. So we all had our own experience. So that gives us confidence. Gives us confidence that Krishna will come and save us again. Ayendra Das tells the story how some boots and prates were in his room attacking him. So he called out for Krishna. Krishna, save me. And nothing happened. He called out his Murtis, Nitai Sachi Sutta. He has some Gauri Nitai Murtis in his room. And he called out Gauri Nitai, didn't save him. And he called out Radharani, didn't save him. So finally he called out Prabhupada. He called out his guru. And the ghosts, and they ran away. He describes the guy had one tooth and one horn. It was yellow in color and a really weird guy. He saw it in his room. So he took shelter of Guru and Guru saved him. So one way or another, Krishna or Guru will always save his body. So that's one point we get from this verse. What other point do we get for bhajan? About fear. So fear says Vishatobaya. Vishato means what? What does Vishato mean? Vishato. Vishwata means all fears, universal fears. It's called phobia, fear of heights, fear of snakes. You know, we're afraid of so many things. So all fears are removed by remembering Krishna. You get my sweet notes, there's a section on fear. Have no fear. Krishna is near for those who are dear. And the road is clear. Something like that. Have no fear. Krishna is near. Krishna is just a thought. How far away is Krishna? Just a thought. Just think of Krishna. He's right there. There's verses in Sanskrit in the 10th canto. I think when Krishna was being, Nandaraj went to Ambikavan to celebrate Shivratri. There's a famous deity of Ambika Devi and Shivalinga there, in some far Braj Mandal called Ambikavan. Ambika's name for Durga. There's a Shivalinga there. They went to Shiv Chaturthi. Nandaraj went there, and a python swallowed him up. He cried out for help. And Krishna was in Nandagram. And the verse, in Sanskrit verse in Bhagavatam says, Upashrutya, Upashrutya. Shruti means here, Upa means near. Upa, or you say Upasana. What does Upasana mean?
Sitting near.
To sit near. We say Krishna Upasana means a method of worshiping Krishna. You put your mercy here, you do puja, you worship. Upasana means sit near your Ishtadeva, Guru Upasana. So Upashruti means he heard from nearby. Krishna heard from nearby. Krishna was 40 kilometers away and Nandagram sleeping. And he said, Upashruti. Immediately Krishna ran there and saved Nandaraj. So this means, well, I said Krishna is a thought away. Whenever a fearful situation, all you have to do is think of Krishna or cry out Krishna's name, Krishna will be there in a second. Faster than you can blink, blink your eye. Uba shoots you. So this is another point. Vishwatobayat. Everywhere we move, there's some fearful situation. Can't possibly be. But Krishna will always be there. There's so many circumstances where devotees are saved by Krishna. It's amazing. Because Krishna speaks from in the heart to a devotee. To do, don't go here, go there. Do this, do that. So we have that idea from Gita. 10th chapter, 10th verse. Yeah, Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogatam, I give intelligence. Prabhupada gives a nice explanation in 4th canto of Bhagavatam. He said, intelligence is a form direction of the super soul. Intelligence, or the meaning of intelligence, is a form direction of the super soul. In other words, when you get an idea of the right thing to do, that means the super soul is speaking through your intelligence. Do this, do that. I remember there was Govika told me a story once. She was on Parikrama of Vrindavan. And she saw this big tree on the side of the path. There was a fence and it's part of the Prickham Mark. There was an opening in the fence where you could walk behind the fence off the Prickham Mark. There was a huge Kadamba tree there, a very ancient tree, like a 500-year-old tree. And she thought to go embrace the tree as a Kola Riksha tree. Yeah, because it's a big tree. So she wanted to embrace the tree and pray for mercy or praying or whatever. But she started to walk through the gate, and something told her, don't go through the gate. And then when she walked the gate, she looked, and inside that tree, about 150 monkeys were there. So possibly, if she went to get the tree, the monkeys think she was there, she was attacking, and they all go down, jump out of her. So she was ready to do it, and some voice in her mind said, don't go there. So she backed up and went out of the court. And she looked at the tree, saw 150 monkeys resting in the branches. It's like we're on Yatra Varsana with a bunch of Russian devotees. That's all the way. You were there? No. We have five buses. We went to Radharbagh. Radharbagh is the garden of Radharani near Unshagan. I think we went there recently. I told the story.
Many times.
And there was this big beehive on the tree. A million bees. Beehive was huge. And this big fat Russian lady. She was, I don't know, she lost her balance or something. She fell against the tree. And it shook the hive. And all of me thought that she was a bear or something. And they came out of the hive, big cloud of bees, and started shaking the lady. And she's running all around. Many people got stung, it was a big scene. But we were saved. So we remember the time when the bees came, Krishna saved us. What a funny time. Very funny time. Okay. That's your next one. Some of you all got stung though, that was not wasn't good. Okay, here's number 4.
453 times.
What?
453 times.
Right. Time is 4:53. Okay, we'll do next Saturday that verse. Anyone want to say anything more about verse 3 or 2? Yeah, verse 2 and 3. Usually we do 2 verses every Saturday. This is the famous Gopi Geet and Gopi Sir. Trying to attract Krishna's attention, they're crying, they're singing this loudly. These aren't quiet prayers, they're crying. It says they're crying out these prayers. Because, you know, when nothing else works, you try to make a plan, you use your body to try to solve a problem. So they use their bodies, they search for Krishna, they ask the trees, and then when nothing else works, then they just cry. When you feel powerless, because they try to walk around the forest, walk into deep forest, follow Krishna's footprints, ask the trees, ask Tulsi, Ask Srimad River, ask everyone, where's Krishna? Show us. And no response. So then they came back and just sat down and cried. So they're crying these verses, which is indicating how much love they actually have for Krishna. First they say they try to use certain logic, you're killing us, and this is a dharmic, and you're a thief. Now they're just saying, you say it was before, why don't you say it was now? Let's see if I forgot anything, if I got this one. We covered everything. Okay, anyone want to say any more? It's one thing that's nice to... Well, the one point I want to close on here. The Gopis are... They're attached to Krishna, they love Krishna, and now they're separated from Krishna and remembering him. So this memory is very, very good asset that human beings have, is memory. So memory is also very important for bhajan. And remembering what we have, what we received, remembering where we were before we took up bhakti. Remembering what was our consciousness, what was our attitude, what was our life, where we were before, what was I doing, where was I, what was I thinking, what was I desiring, because it probably wasn't the same as now. Our ambitions when we're a teenager and a young person, 20, 25 years old, and then after you take up bhakti, it's a whole revolution. A change of consciousness, a change of mentality, a change of attitude, a change of thinking, feeling, willing, everything gets changed, transformed. And you get a spiritual body, you get a spiritual mind, a spiritual heart. So you didn't always have that, you weren't born with that. These are all gifts of God, and gifts of Guru, and gifts of Vaishnavas. We collect so many things from each other. From our devotee friends and our devotee associates and our teachers and our books we have. So this all should be remembered time to time. Businessmen are always looking at their books, taking accounts, how much money, how much product I sold, how much profit I made, and what kind of house I lived in before. What kind of house I have now? What was my life before marriage? What was my life after marriage? You have a good example here. So this is the Gopis are showing us, they're using their memory, remembering. And also, interesting, they knew everything about Krishna. They knew what Kundali. They met Gargamuni and Bhaguri Muni. They said, you did Krishna's chart, right? Can we see it? Well, sure. Yeah, tell us about his chart. Well, he's not a very loyal guy, he's not loyal. Okay. But he if he likes you, he really likes you, you can't depend on him, but he's such a guy that you can't give him up either. So be careful when you get connected with him. It'll be hard to get rid of him. So these are some points of this verse we can think about. For our bhajan, we should do like the Gopis do. Remember all the good things we receive, and be encouraged by that to carry on and be patient, wait for more good things to happen. and never be afraid. Gopis said, you say this all the time. I'm sure you'll save us now also. I'm sure you'll come back. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.